Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite things is ordaining people, and they are absolutely brilliant people. That was what the internship... You guys can take a break. Would you put your hands together for our amazing musicians and singers? Didn't they do a great job this morning? Let me just encourage you, we're talking with Southeastern University right now. Southeastern University about taking our internship up another level. They've heard about our internship and they actually kind of want to see if they can make us a campus of Southeastern University where you can actually get accreditation, because we already have a Bible college component. They want to add to that, so it's almost like people can come here and do like a college accredited course. And because we created the internship program to equip and empower and train ministers. That's really what it's all about. I felt God say very early on in the beginning of our church, I don't want you to go onto churchhire.com or hire from the outside. I want you to raise up from within. I want you to raise up from within. And so I said, well, God, this is what I need, but I don't see anybody who kind of matches this. And God says, okay, well, then build it. You begin to build it. And so literally I started with an end product and then worked backwards. So all the books that the interns have to read, all the serving. And we wanted people not just to graduate with a head full of theology, but with hands that know how to minister, with hands that know how to serve, hands that know how to take ground, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to break demonic strongholds, and at the same time understand the ebb and flow of faithfulness and loyalty and having a servant heart, as well as stepping out in leadership and prophesying. And so that's what the internship's all about. We're going to be launching some new internship endeavors. One of those is going to be publishing. And I just kind of felt God say, okay, take publishing up another level. You can only be in one place at one time, but a book can be in a million different places all at the same time and people reading. So we're going to start, you know, out of the great ministries that we have here, start producing and publishing books that can go all over the world so people can, and then media, we're going to start developing TV programs and short films and movies. And so if you're kind of inspired that way, don't think that there's film and then there's ministry, film and ministry. Don't think that there's, you know, books and ministry. It's short films, it's TV and ministry. So it's an exciting day to be alive. Somebody say amen. I also want to just welcome one other great couple. These were in my youth group, and I see that your beautiful bride Heidi's stepped out for a minute. Stand up, Chad. This is Chad Lake, and Chad was born in America, came all the way down to Australia, to Oxford Falls, was a student there. There was a beautiful young lady. Her mum and dad were the pastors of C3 Penrith, Heidi Yeager, and you married her. Now she's Heidi Lake. And how long have you been married? Almost 10 years. Almost 10 years, hey? Who said it wouldn't last? Andy. Anyway, but look at you guys now, flourishing, and it's so good to have you guys here. Absolutely. He didn't say that, just so you know. He didn't say that. So proud of you guys. So great to have you here. And Jeff Forbes, who felt the anointing on that communion message. That was one of the best communion messages I've heard. Jeff Forbes, you're a powerhouse. Just reach your hands towards Jeff and Glory Forbes. Father, we just thank you for the anointing that rests on this couple. And I would say to you that you are set aside for such a time as this. You are anointed for such a time as this. And I've just found that God is shaping. He's chipping away and shaping because you've found your fit. And it's amazing. God doesn't shape. God doesn't bake bricks. God shapes and polishes stones. And a stone is unique to its identity and its character. Nimrod took clay and straw and baked bricks because he doesn't care. Whereas God takes stones. And the stone retains its identity, its nature, its character. It has all its marble and everything. and God shapes it, and He polishes it, and He shapes it, and He hones it to fit. And that's what God's doing in your life. And you're going to find your fit. And the Lord would say that when you find your fit, you find your flow. The devil doesn't want you to fit because he wants you to lose your flow. But today I saw a flow on the stage here because you're allowing the Lord to find that fit. The devil doesn't want you to fit. You just make a decision. I'm going to fit so that what God has put in you can flow and the house of God can be built through you. I thank you, Father, for Jeff and Glory Forbes. I thank you for the hand upon them. I thank you for your anointing and healing flowing through freedom. And I thank you for the great men's leader and future that these guys have. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Awesome. Well, come with me. Hey, welcome everybody online. It's great to have you with us from all over the world, from Brazil, Boa Noite, which means good night. That's all I know in Brazil. Those watching from Australia, g'day. How you going? But I want you to come with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 in the few minutes that we have left together. 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to preach to you a message called Building a House of Transformation. Building a House of Transformation. It was so beautiful. My team came up with the theme for this year's Vision Builders is a house of transformation. And honestly, when I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, they have captured, you know, really the heart and the spirit of what we want in C3 San Diego. I don't want just to build a church in the sense of, you know, a gathering place for the frozen chosen, for the selected elected. You know, like I want to build a house that people from all backgrounds, from all walks of life, from all experiences can walk into and find that it's a house of transformation. The reason I want that is because I know how much God has transformed my life. I know how jacked up, how messed up, how dysfunctional my life was when I came into the house of God. And I've got to tell you, when I walked into the house of God, there is a power in that house. There is an anointing in that house. There is an equipping in that house. There is a quickening in that house. There is something in the house of God that only can be described as supernatural, as paranormal, as something that is not of this world. And Jesus, when he sent the disciples out to preach, he says, you tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. In other words, tell them that you're not just left to earthly circumstances with earthly laws and earthly dynamics, that there is another dimension that can come, that can overthrow, that can override your current experience, and there can be a flow from heaven. Can I just tell you, there is no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no death and despair and depression and anxiety in heaven. You don't have to wait till you die to get to heaven. Jesus, as you preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's right here. Just reach out, lay hold of it. You will find that wherever the word is preached, the kingdom resides. Wherever the word is preached, the kingdom resides. Because God builds his kingdom through the preaching of his word. Through the preaching of his word. And so wherever the word is preached, and so we know when the word is preached, the Bible says, and they preached the word, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs and wonders following. How do you know if the word's being preached? Signs and wonders are following. Now, can I just tell you, just between you and me, just kind of lean in. This is just, you know, for I've been to a lot of seminars where they try and tell me, Pastor, don't do freaky things in church. Seriously. They say, you know, don't pray in tongues. It'll freak people out. Whatever you do, don't pray for people and have them fall over, get slain in the spirit. My God, it'll freak people out. They're like, you know, and whatever you do, don't do deliverance, you know, casting out demons, and, you know, it'll freak people out. You know, people will wonder what's going on in there. Well, there's a reason they're called signs and... Do you know there's a whole generation who have left God, and, you know, they're kind of chasing the psychics and the tarot card readers and the necromancers and everybody else, because we've put God in a box. We've sanitized God. It's like we get God and then we sanitize him and we put him in a little box and say God, and then come to he's, you know, there should be some moments where you just wonder. There should be moments where you wonder what on earth was where you what. I think keep a level of mystique in church. Somebody say amen. God's power. If you can box God, let me tell you, it's not God. In fact, God is pretty anti-boxed. God doesn't like boxes. Do you know why? Because the only people we ever put in boxes are dead people. And God refuses to be dead. I mean, he tried it. He tried it 3 days. He thought, that's enough. That's enough. Yeah, that's enough. He got up again. So come with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. It says, now it happened. That's what I love about the Bible. There's always something happening. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. Everyone say Shunem. Shunem means two resting places. It also means uneven. Went to Shunem where there was a notable woman. Just check my phone. In the 8:30, right at that point, Leanne called. As soon as I mentioned notable woman. Okay, all right. Well, she's preaching right now, so she probably doesn't have time to call. But anyway, now when the Bible says a notable woman, I think it's probably wise that you and I take notes on this woman. Seeing if the Bible says, hey, this is a notable woman, God is kind of giving us a suggestion. Hey, take some notes here. So I want to burrow in. We're calling this message Building a House of Transformation, but I want you to just take some notes from this woman. There was a notable woman, and she persuaded Elisha, she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So let me just give you the story. Here's a woman. She's a notable woman. She lives in a place called Shunem, which means two resting places, or literally uneven. And she lives in an uneven place, two resting places, and she sees this man, Elisha. Elisha is the protege of Elijah. Elijah, for those of you that remember, was the prophet of God. This is now the second generation. This is his successor. The first prophet, Elijah, bursts onto the scene and he carries an anointing to shift the powers. The first flow of the prophetic is always to speak into the highest realms of government and leadership. The nation of Israel is in a devastating place. It is so far from God's intended and desirable outcome for Israel, because there is a king by the name of Ahab who's allowing his pagan worshiping wife Jezebel to devastate the land. Not only that, but she is executing the prophets of the Lord and she is feeding from her own table, the Bible says. So government fed, redirecting of your taxes go to prop up the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. So she's trying to silence or literally extinguish the word of the Lord in the land so that the word of Baal and the word of Asherah are the highest elevated voices in the land, only to find that it brings destruction and devastation. And so Elijah comes and he says, there will be neither dew nor rain these years except at my word, and a famine comes over the land. And then he takes on the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and they cut themselves and they cry out, there's no fire. And then he calls out once and fire comes down, and he has all the prophets of Baal executed and the prophets of Asherah executed. And then, you know, before long, Jezebel and Ahab are toppled and dethroned, and righteousness begins to come back into the leadership over the nation. But you need to understand that when there's been wicked leadership, it always shows up in the people. When there's wicked leadership, it always shows up in the devastation of the people. At C3 San Diego, I want you to know that we are not just going to give you a little sermon or a homily on a Sunday where you go home and say, isn't that nice? Oh, the disciples went fishing. Hey, caught some fish. Oh, isn't that lovely? What a story. Well, let's put that aside. That's for church. How do we figure out life? How do I make my marriage work? How do I? No, you need to understand that the Word of God is your greatest companion. It is the greatest architect. It is the greatest builder of your marriage, of your family, of your finances, of your business, of your influence, of your marketplace. But the Word of God will also enlighten you on how the world works. And so the Bible will begin to show you that when there's wickedness in leadership over a nation, there's devastation in the people. You go to any nation in the world and you put a thermometer in the people's mouths, you can tell the quality of leadership. Where there's oppression, where there's poverty, where there's just outbreaks of, it always comes back to problems in the leadership. Always comes back to problems in the leadership. And so the second wave is the Elisha wave. And Elisha comes, and the powers have already been shifted. The wicked king has already been toppled, but now Elisha comes, and he also carries the prophetic. He also carries the word of the Lord. But now the emphasis is different, because Elisha carries a word to begin to bring healing and breakthrough from a people recovering from wicked leadership. So the verses between 1 and 7, because we started from verse 8, is about a widow who has lost her husband and she cannot pay her bills. He ran up the credit cards, he borrowed, and then he died suddenly, and he's left her with this incredible debt, insurmountable. She cannot pay it. The creditors are coming to take away her two sons as slaves, which means she's basically going to starve to death. So she comes to Elisha, the man of God, and he says, "What do you have in your house?" She says, "All I've got is a little bit of oil. I've got nothing else." He says, "I want you to go borrow vessels. Don't borrow a few, borrow as many as you can. Go to all your neighbors, go to all your relatives, go to all your friends, go to anybody and everybody and borrow as many vessels as you can. For thus saith the Lord, the oil will not run out until there's no more vessel." And so she brings vessel after vessel, and she's got this tiny little flask, and she just pours out, and it just keeps pouring. It keeps pouring. It's supernatural. It keeps pouring until the Bible says, until the oil stopped flowing. And the oil stopped flowing. She said to her son, "Is there no more vessels?" He says, "No, Mama, that was the last vessel." I want you to notice the oil didn't run out. It stopped flowing when there was no more vessels. The whole reason we're doing Vision Builders is because I felt God say to me that every building you get, I'll fill. Every building you get, I'll fill. I mean, right now we're about to open our South Campus. And you know, we started in the AMC theaters a little over 2 years ago. And then we had to move from the smaller theater to the medium size, and then from the medium size to the largest theater they got, and then we filled that one. So now we have to have two. We have a 10 and a 12 down there, because we can't, they're both full. And then we're going to go into an 800 seat auditorium pretty soon. That's going to be full. And so what I recognize is we got to keep putting buildings. And so Elisha is releasing miracles. So now let's go back. Here's this notable woman, and she sees this man of God. She sees that he carries the word of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God's word was always carried by a man or a woman. God's word, God's ministry, was always carried by a man or a woman. And so the fact that she's looking after him shows that she is investing in, she is supporting, she is feeding the ministry. And the Bible says, as often as he would pass by, she would feed him. She would feed him. But then as she fed him, she began to see in his eyes and in the lines on his face, she could see the weight that he was carrying, trying to bring healing, trying to bring restoration to a nation that is still reeling from the devastation of wicked leadership. She notices over the years that as he passes by, his walk is not as fast as it was when he was younger, and he's not able to make it to the other cities on the circuit that he's going. So she comes to her husband. Let's have a look at the next verse. She comes to her husband, verse 9, and she says to her husband, "Look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed there for him, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." So she says, "Listen, I've been happy to tithe. I've been happy to just kind of support this ministry. I've been happy to feed and sustain." She says, "But I just kind of feel like I've got to go next. I feel like I've got to build a house. I feel like I've got to build, I've got to go beyond the tithe, and I've got to build something." That's what Vision Builders is. It's going beyond the tithe to build something. So she said, "Oh, I want to build him a house, and let's put a bed there where he can sleep. Let's put a chair there where he can sit. Let's put a table there where he can work. And let's put a lampstand there that can bring illumination." So the husband's like, absolutely. So she takes the money and she builds this house. And as often as he comes, he goes in there. And this one particular day, he's there with Gehazi, his servant. And then Gehazi, his servant, Elisha says to Gehazi, he says, "Go and call the woman." And so he calls the woman and she comes. And he says, "Ask her, what does she need? What does she want? Did she want me to talk to the king? Because right now all the kings love Elisha. Does she want me to talk to the captain of the army? Is there anything that she needs?" well, she's a fairly prosperous. Her husband is a fairly wealthy man. And she says, no, I dwell amongst my own people. I don't need anything. Now, let me just say this, and this is where it starts to get good. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Bible says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So I need you to understand, I want you to allow this message to just shift your thinking a little bit today, that the Word is not just rhetoric, that the Word is not just language, but the Word is indeed a person. The Word is the second member of the Trinity. God does everything through the releasing of His Word. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. The word formless and void are the two Hebrew words, tohu and bohu, which mean chaos and disorder. So God is painting us a picture that the universe, the default of the universe, is chaos, disorder, and darkness. The default of the universe is chaos, disorder, and darkness. If you have a garden and you don't garden it, it doesn't flourish and become botanical garden. It'll be overcome with weeds and thorns and snare because the default position of the universe is chaos and disorder. And so God is giving us an insight into life on this planet. So the earth was formless and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Now the Spirit of God was hovering. Don't ever think that God is not engaged or involved, but the Spirit of God is hovering. The Spirit of God is power. Jesus, you receive power when the Holy Spirit is latent power. He has power ready to release, but He waits for something. And the next verse says, Genesis 1 verse 3, God says, let there be light. Then God spoke, let there be light, and light was. Now, a lot of people preach, and it's not good preaching, and sadly, I've been guilty of it myself. And when light came, the darkness flared. There was nothing the darkness could do when the light, and it was great preaching. But if you actually read the scripture, it says, and God said, let there be light, and light was. Watch this. God saw that the light was good. It's interesting. He never said the darkness was good. He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void and darkness. But He never said any of that was good. The first thing that God said was good was the light that came in response to His Word. Then the next thing that happens is God separates the light from the darkness. The light He calls day, the darkness He calls night. God begins to separate the particles. He begins to separate, begins to make a distinction between the light and the darkness. The Bible separates human beings. I'm not sure if you realize that. Into two camps. There are the sons of darkness and there are the sons of light. Well, what's the difference? The sons of darkness are just those who reject the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God to rule over them. They don't want the Word of God to govern over them. They reject the Word of God, so they stumble in the darkness. That's why we don't listen to their wisdom. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God because they can't see. How can they discern when they can't even see? Because they've rejected the Word of God. But when we build our lives on the Word of God, we have light. We have discernment. We have discretion. We have understanding. We have wisdom. We have counsel. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God does everything through His Word. Now watch this. Because she said, I see that this man carries the Word. And I've been feeding him, but now I want to build a house for him where the Word can sleep, where the Word can rest, where the Word can sit, where the Word can work, and where the Word can illuminate. The Word now begins to discern. Because now the Word, Elisha, calls Gehazi and says, what can be done for this woman? Do you want me to open doors for you? Do you want me to speak to kings, to governors? She says, man, I got more than enough stuff. Gehazi says, she has no son. Her husband is well advanced in years. She has no son. And Elisha says, this time next year, you're going to have a son. Now have a look at her response. Have a look at her response. We'll read from verse 13. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or commander of the army? She answered, I dwell with my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son. And her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Have a look at her response. And she said, verse 16, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived anyway. The most beautiful but in the world is God's but. No, my Lord. Like she's like, don't do this to me. You don't know how many times I hoped. You know how many times my cycle stopped. And there was a little bit, but then I miscarried. You don't know the pain of hope deferred that has made my heart sick. My heart is too weak for me. Don't do this thing. But can I just tell you, the word does not need your assistance. The word of the Lord does not need your insistence. It doesn't assistance. It doesn't even need sometimes your engagement. All you need to do is just receive the word. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he was carrying the word. The angels are messengers, the Bible says. And he carried the word and he says, blessed are you, Mary, highly favored amongst women. You're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son. His name will be called Jesus. He will become the Savior. And she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I think you got the wrong address. I'm a virgin. I'm not even married. I don't know a man. I am engaged. If you come back in like, 18 months, Gabriel didn't go, ooh, golly, I must have got the wrong. He said, have I got the right? No, he knew. He said, oh, let me tell you, sweetie, you don't need a man. The power of the Most High will overshadow the spirit of life. And the one who comes forth from you, your womb will be called the Holy One of God. Can I just tell you, there are people, we're trying to figure out, man, how do we get a home in San Diego with rising prices? How do I, with this doctor's report, can I just tell you, the Spirit of God does not need help from man. God's Spirit does not limp. It does not lean on a staff. It doesn't need a crutch. It doesn't need a... I'm telling you, the word of God can accomplish that. For in fact, the Bible says God's word never returns to him empty or void. It always accomplishes that for which it was sent out to do. One of the greatest things about the house of God is as you begin to build the house of God will begin to discern what is lacking. It'll begin to discern what is broken, what is dysfunctional in your life. Now, I know that we are all really, really good at wearing masks. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together and hid amongst the trees. We're so good at the masquerade ball. We're so good at fig leaves. We come in and we pretend, but the word of God sees behind your veil, sees behind your mask, and he begins to see what is dysfunctional. He begins to see what's hurting. He begins to see what's lacking, and the word of God is greater, and the word of God will actually supersede. He doesn't want you to just settle for devastation. He doesn't want you to settle for, man, I've given up on kids because of the pain. He wants to take you beyond the pain. So he says, this time next year you shall, and the Bible says, but it happened that she conceived and she brought forth a son. My God, the day that little baby was born, the weeping, the praising, the shouting, the jubilation in that home. God was faithful to his promise. She would have been rejoicing. Now go to verse 18. It says, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. And then died. Now watch what she does. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband. She says, can I take a donkey? Can I take the car and some servants? And I'm going to go and see the man of God. He's like, it's not the Sabbath. It's not the new moon. Why are you? She said, all is well. She has a confession. Now, I want to show you something very, very powerful. The Bible says that she takes this boy and she puts him in the bed of the house that she had built. The boy is about 12 years of age. For the first 12 years, he was mama's boy. And now, all of a sudden, at 12, he's right on that age where in the Jewish custom, they have the bar mitzvah. and he becomes a son of the law. At 13, they do the bar mitzvah, and he is now treated as a man in the community. He can buy, he can sell, he can trade, and people speak to him like he's an adult. He's right at this place. This is very important for us to notice, because I want you to understand that everything God gives you, he gives to you for it to produce for you. This woman is married, but she has no son. Who's going to take care of them in their older age? In the Jewish community, it was the children's responsibility to take care of their aging and elderly parents. She had no future. She had no retirement plan. She had nothing until the man of God prophesied, you're going to have a son. Now she has a son. And just as he leaves mama's side to go and join father in the field with the reapers in the harvest, my head, not my hand, because you can recover from hand. But the enemy always takes out the head. He always attacks you in the head. He always gets you in the head. He always puts a thought in your head, man, I'm not happy in this marriage. I might look at, man, I'm never going to get a home and say, man, I'm never going to get ahead. You're hopeless. You're useless. The reason they let you go is because your qualifications, no one's ever going to hire you. And the enemy always attacks the head, because he knows if he can attack the head, he can take it. If the head dies, everything dies. If the head is taken down, everything is taken down. It may not happen straight away. He sat on his mother's knee until noon, but there's something that even nursing, you can't nurse wrong thoughts in your head. You can't nurse, and so the enemy attacks the head, but the little boy dies. But thank God, this woman wasn't just a tithe. She went to a place where she built something. She doesn't take the little boy and lay him on his bed, because on his bed is where he played, on his bed is where he slept, on his bed is where he woke. But she doesn't take him there. She takes him and she lays him on the man of God's bed. Then she rushes to the man of God. The Bible says when she gets there, Gehazi sees this woman. He sees this cloud of dust, and he says, somebody's coming with fury. He says, who is it? He says, I think it's the Shunammite woman. And so he rushes out to meet her. He says, all is all well with your husband. She says, all is well with my husband. Is all well with you? All is well with me. Is all well with your son? She says, all is well. Now that's interesting. Why would she say all is well? Why would she say that? Because she understands, you can't help me, so I ain't going to just, I don't need someone to commiserate. I don't need somebody to agree with what is hopeless in my life. Sympathy is what you give somebody when you don't have power to help them. She's like, right now I don't need any sympathy. She goes to Elisha, she said, did I not say to you, did I not say to you, don't give me a boy? And Elisha's like, my God, what happened? He's dead. And he says, this man, the Lord has kept this from me. So he puts his staff in Gehazi's hand. He says, go to the boy and lay the staff on the young man. So Gehazi goes ahead with the staff and he lays it on the boy, but no resurrection, no anointing, no flow, no miracle. Can I just tell you that I'm all about church programs? I love the fact that we're taking our My City teenagers to Lake Mead, and they're going to have, you know, this awesome, we do awesome program Friday night. This place is packed. North County's packed. Pretty soon South is going to be packed on a Friday night with teenagers engaging with God. I love our church programs. I love our missions programs. I love our hospitality. I love our young adults. I love our society. I love our kids ministry. I love the programs. I love the prime. I love the fact that we have programs. But can I tell you, a program is just like that staff. It is awesome. It is good. But it may not bring the resurrection. We also need a dimension. We also need a dimension of power in the house. And the programs are good, but there's something that the program just can't do. And it just could not bring life back. It could not bring a miracle. And so there was another dimension. So Elisha goes in, and the Bible says that he spreads himself out on the child. And the Bible says he puts hand on hand, eyes on eyes, mouth on mouth. And when I read that, I thought, my God, that's a little bit weird. That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And God said, because the miracle begins to flow in your life when you are hand to hand with God's word, when you see eye to eye with the vision that the word brings in the house. And that when your mouth to mouth, when your confession is, notice her confession, all is well, all is well. When you begin to confess the word of God, man, we had doctors' reports over the years. We had, you know, people telling us about San Diego and you can't get this and you can't do that and real estate's expensive. I just made a decision. Let somebody else agree with them. Life is too short and the call is too great for me to set the thermostat of what is possible with the naysayers and the negative and the unbelievers. I'm going to instead choose to let my mouth echo the word of God and set anew all things are possible. That right now we have four buildings. We own three of them. Two of them we bought with cash. We're going to continue to buy buildings. We're going to continue to increase. We're going to continue to advance. It doesn't matter how expensive. God is going to come through. God is going to continue to bless. I made a decision that my vision will be the vision that comes from the word of God. That my hands, my activity will be the activity of the word of God. This woman has built a house. That's what Vision Builders is. And so when the time comes 12 years later, the time has come where she is facing a crisis, but in the crisis, she's not devastated. She takes the boy and she places him where the word rests. She places him where the word sits. She places him where the word works. She places him where the word illuminates. And she knows if anything, her womb was dead. Her husband's body was dead. And now the child is dead. God is good with death. God is good. If God can fix anything, he can fix death. The Bible says that one day we will all die. But Jesus says, even when you die, those who die will truly live. Do you not believe this? We have resurrection life. Even if we die, we live. Paul said, for me to die is gain, because to be absent in the body is to be present in heaven. You can't die. You are unkillable. If somebody was to strike you today, you'd immediately be standing in glory. You are my God. So she lays him on the bed. And the Bible says his flesh becomes warm, and then ka-chung, 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 ka-chung. He sneezes seven times. Doctors tell us that every time you sneeze, it strengthens the muscles and the valves of your heart. The heart is strengthened. Seven sneezes, and the little boy comes back to life. And then Elisha takes the boy and presents him to the mother, and she falls down and begins to worship. Years later, there's a devastation. There's a famine in the land. Elisha's already gone to glory. And there's a devastation in the land, and people again are losing their homes and their properties. And this woman comes before the king, and then the king says, you're the woman. He says, your story rocked me. Your story impacted me. Not only do you have your land back, but I'm going to give you the surrounding. You have no idea. We have no idea what we build. There's something about when we Vision Builders, there's something about building a house of transformation. You may say, hey, I don't need it today, but we don't know 12 years from today. When we build the house of God, you don't know how many people have come into this house needing a miracle. How many people walked in terminal? How many people walked in with a death sentence? How many people walked in with doctors saying you can't have a baby? With doctors saying you can't carry a child? And miracle after miracle after miracle. Let me tell you, I don't want to just build a house that is just a teaching house, that is just a sermon or a homily house. We want to build a house where absolutely we got great programs, but even more than that, there is a power, there is an anointing, there is healing, there is a supernatural. We want you to exceed the expectations, the hopes, and the dreams. There's a place where the word is. You serve the word because Jesus is the word. You better believe he has integrity. If you look after him, he's going to look after you. Blind Bartimaeus, a blind, crippled beggar, stands in front of Jesus, and Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? The word of God, listen, the word of God will come into your life. What do you want me to do for you? I remember as I went to Bible college, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you want me to do for you? I'm like, I was rejecting it. No, I'm here to serve you. And it's like, yeah, but I want to serve you. I'm like, God, you're the word. You're the second person of the Trinity. And God says, it's my delight to send the word is never to harm you. The word is to serve you. Do you know the word? People say, well, you know, why did God tell them not to eat from the tree? Because the word was to protect them. Yes. The word was to help them. Don't eat off there. There's death there. There's life on all these other trees. The word is always for your protection. It's always for your benevolence. It's always for your benefit. And God says, you know, I said, well, I kind of think Leanne's cute. Done. Okay. I was an engineer, but I'd really like to serve you full time. Done. One day, I feel like there's a church in us, and it's going to sound a little bit carnal, but I really want to be in a major city that has an international airport with beaches, because I like surfing, and a harbor, and like a really cool skyline. I think, oh, you're going to strike me out. It's pretty carnal. And God goes, done. I wrote it on a card in 1998 when we landed here in 2005. I'm, you know, going through all of our belongings, and I see this card, and I show Leanne. I said, oh my gosh, it's San Diego. I didn't know San Diego in 1998, 2005. It's the card. Can I just tell you, when you sit in the house of transformation, and as you begin to honor and elevate and support the ministry of the Word of God, this is what will happen. The Word will, because the Word has integrity. Jesus, no one has more integrity. The Word will begin to say, what is lacking? What can I do for you? What is missing? What is dysfunctional? What is broken? God will begin to heal you. You will live at a life beyond where you're at right now. You'll live so far above where you are right now. Why? Because the Word will do it. Listen, I'll be really honest with you. Honestly, I get up on this platform and I'm telling you, I'm just like, this is crazy. I am so far out of my pay grade. I was trained as an engineer. And you've given me, I'm like, God, I don't know. And he's like, it's better you don't. I'm like, why is it better? He's like, because then you won't be an expert and you'll be obedient. Just do what I tell you to do. I'm like, okay, so my secret is he's really the senior pastor. I'm the associate. And I've got to tell you, every decision I've made, oh, golly gee, oh, sugar, oh. Every decision he makes, I'm like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're actually going to, and people are like, wow. The Holy Spirit will make you better. The greatest thing you can do in your life, listen to me, is make room for the Holy Spirit. Make room for the Word of God. Don't fear the Word. Two camps, sons of darkness, sons of light. The sons of light are just people who make room for the Word of God. When the Word of God comes in your life, illumination will happen. Life will happen. Goodness will begin to flow. Order, structure, function, favor, blessing. Where God's word is, the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. The devil is a liar. He doesn't want you to receive the word of God. He'll try and tell you even today, oh, you know, don't let the word of God come in. The word's got rules. Ten commandments, it'll spoil your fun. God's a spoil sport. He doesn't like people having fun. How many people know that he put fun on the inside of us? Did you know that? Like we have a funny bone. Oh. I don't know why they call it a funny bone. It's never funny when, oh, you know. It's your funny bone. There's nothing funny about it. But God gave you a sense of humor. God gave you the ability to enjoy life. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's the second one. God's like, you need love and you need some joy. Do you know there are too many Christians who look like they you know, they got those water bottles? That, instead of saying Evian, it says vinegar. I'm a Christian. You can tell I'm a Christian by how serious I am. There's an antichrist and it's dipping. No. Stop striving in your flesh. This week I tagged along with the girls. The girls, Leanne and some of the girls, the whatever they call their girl group, went to see Wonder Woman. And so I thought I'll tag along. And there was this line all the way through Wonder Woman. It was so powerful. It says, it's not according to what you deserve. It's according to what you believe. Our heads tell us we don't deserve the blessing of God. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve for God to do anything. I don't deserve. But this life is not about what you deserve. It's about what you believe. And the only way you can change what you believe is receive the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. We made a covenant. We made a decision that we would not preach anything less than the Word of God, whether we're praised or whether we're persecuted. Whether we're slandered or whether we're we will preach the word of God because your life is too important. I want you to have the word, and when you receive the word, you watch what it begins to do in your life. Amen. I am out of time. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Yep. Yeah? I'm glad I got that right. The other day I was preaching and I said, would you close your head and bow your eyes? Really quickly, if you're here today and you've never surrendered to God, you've never opened your heart to God, friend, really quickly, would you let me pray a prayer? And you need to understand this is so powerful. If you'll just raise your hand in just a moment, the word of God is going to enter into your heart, enter into your life. You'll be born again. And God's going to begin to shift and change things in your life. If you once walked with God, but you slipped away or you turned away, fell away, and you know you need to come back, today's your day. Or maybe you're just here and you're far from God. Maybe you're here today and your life's like, man, my life is in such disrepair. Maybe you're overcome by an addiction or a transgression, whatever it is. You need to understand nothing is greater than His word. And I don't want to finish this service unless I pray for you. If that's you, well, every head is bowed with no one looking around and you're saying, hey, Pastor, that's me. Would you quickly raise your hand? Thank you, 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 thank you. Who else is there? Thank you over there. Thank you over there. Thank you over there. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you through there. Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? Thank you there. I see your hand, darling. Thank you down the front. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly, I am out of time. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. While our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, just say these words out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today that you so love me. You sent Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be crucified so that His blood would wash away all my sin, so that today I am forgiven. Today I receive Christ, the Word of God, into my life. And I declare today I am a child of the living God. I declare today blessing, order, function begins to take part in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I just encourage you, church? If you raise your hand, we have a beautiful young lady down here. Would you let us give you a Bible today? We want to give you a Bible, and she'll pray with you. We've also got a little Following Jesus book. It's our gift to you. If you're sitting with someone that raised their hand, would you take them to this beautiful young lady? If you haven't yet pledged for Vision Builders, can I just encourage you? Get one of the cards. You can get one from our ushers or get the two of the ushers. You can also do that online. But let's see if we can hit that $5 million mark that I'm believing. We're right around that $4 million mark. Let's do that. But why don't you stand to your feet tonight, 5 p.m., the Bishop of C3, Pastor Phil Pringle, is going to be, I've got to tell you, man, he is operating in fresh oil. So come tonight. It is going to be a powerful night. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you for these sons and daughters. Father, release the word. Release favor. Release power over their lives. And Father, I thank you today. People crossing that threshold from just tithing and supporting into the place where they are vision building and building that house of transformation. Bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Take somebody out for lunch. Bless somebody. We'll see you back here tonight, 5 p.m. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.